cliffcentral.com.
What's that? Don't just start talking.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus, you've lost all your ability to reason and use radio properly.
No, because I don't do this every day. It's like, you know.
But you say you're
like
a guru.
Riding a bike.
Yeah.
No, man. I was a guru maybe 10 years ago.
Ooh.
There's Annie Lennox actually. She took a South African, South African man in Cape Town, left his wife and three or four children for Annie Lennox.
Wow.
Interesting little tidbit.
Oh. But I mean, if Annie Lennox came knocking on your door.
Well, that's the thing. Look, you happily married.
She would make me reconsider
exactly,
as well.
Exactly. You happily married. You love your wife. You love your children. Annie Lennox arrives. What the hell?
It's goodbye.
So, what do you do?
No, there's no what you do. It's Annie Lennox. Yeah, goodbye, old wife. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Old wife.
I'm sending my family an email from the airport. It was great knowing you. These past 24 years have been blessed.
With Annie Lennox.
But Annie Lennox needs me to help her with her music.
And this is Annie Lennox. We are not talking like FHM number one hottest thing since sliced bread.
All right. Okay. Just quickly, some comments here on the message number. You can message us on 0797482090. It is a Wednesday morning, as you may have heard already. Damon Calvari is with us. Our intern, Mbulelo Tinta, is here, and he's already getting some furious reactions. Totally disagree with the sports report. It's shite. Whether Van Dijk won the Ballon d'Or or not, let's all appreciate that he managed to compete closely with Messi, something that is rare, as well as being a defender to do it. For a defender to have a year as good as Van Dijk, e.g. not getting dribbled for 65 games, is special, so fuck off, Mbulelo, with your Liverpool cult comment, you know nothing. How's that? All right. But furious.
But it still fascinates me.
Are you weighing in on a sports discussion?
No, I just want to make a short little comment. Uh-huh. I'll never fathom or understand why people in South Africa, 10,000 kilometers away or wherever, get so passionate and serious about something that's happening in the UK in terms of English, in terms of European soccer or British Premier League soccer. I just don't understand it. You can follow it, you can watch it, but when they say we won, some guy in Barcelona doesn't give a shit about you. Why are you so take it so personally? You live in Johannesburg, you live in Cape Town. Like, come on.
But I hate to break it to you, but most of the people on any of these teams aren't from the city they're named for.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's what it brings me on.
It's all made up.
But that's another thing.
It's choosing to be part of a club.
I'm a Liverpool supporter. I support Liverpool. No. But over the times, the team changes. It's different players.
Some people think it's interesting to be an Android user or an iPhone user. I mean, that's a club.
What's happened, I remember in the 80s, it was actually a rule, a British Premier League soccer rule, that you were only allowed a maximum of two players that were not British in your team. Now it's the other way around.
Oh. Whoever has a bigger budget.
Nombolelo, just remind me, what's the rule that's switched around now that you have to have whatever.
All right. Can we stop talking about Annie Lennox in football for a second and focus on the important issues of the day? There are two
pressing matters.
First thing, I'm really happy Damon's here. It's Wednesday and we don't see him as often, but when we do see him, it's always useful to use him as King Solomon the Wise to sort out some of our problems. Now, there's someone in the office who came to me semi-confidentially a while ago and expressed the misery of piles that she was suffering from.
Uh-oh.
So she had piles. She will remain nameless. She told me that this is a condition which keeps recurring. Now, the reason I'm asking Damon to apply his mind to this is because I know that he has several bits of advice for anyone who's suffering from piles. Primarily, I remember you used to say to people, don't strain. Don't sit on the toilet and strain when you have piles.
No, Gareth, you've got me confused with somebody else. I actually am not really a piles expert. I had a fistula
Oh.
in my Erector.
What?
Wait, what is that?
Okay, so...
Yeah, what is that?
Okay,
so... Suddenly, Gugu's woken up. Anything revolting.
So a fistula can happen in your... It can happen in your bladder as well. So you have an outlet. So in this, so most of us healthy people, we have a rectum. Your feces goes out that particular...
Anus.
Goes out that particular tube. So I had a fistula where there was a...
It was a diversion.
There was a diversion where I had a... another hole, but literally the size of a pinprick. Another hole that was communicating from a medic, from an anatomical point of view. They say it's communicating with the main rectum. So I would develop.
So essentially, you had two assholes.
Yeah, but that fistula would get infected.
Asshole two.
Yeah. Arsehole two would get infected, and how it first happened was back in 1994. I had this huge, huge...
Clean up an arsehole too.
I had this huge, huge inflammation that was almost blocking my exit part. And then it burst. And the blood.
What?
And
no,
the
shut
pus.
Up, shut up, shut
you
up.
You have no idea. So anyway, to cut a long story short...
Yeah, do that, please.
I went to the doctor and he said to me, you need surgery. You need to go to a gastroenterologist and you need surgery. So because of the intimacy and I was embarrassed, I never went for the surgery. So for the last 23 years, I've been, after I've gone to the toilet for a number two.
Oh, goodbye.
I've been going into the shower and scrubbing my ass clean, clean, clean.
Oh.
As a result, I'm happy to announce that in the last, from about 3 years ago, my fistula is completely healed. How's that? And then
when I think that deserves
that's
a
marvelous. And, it really is marvelous.
And thanks to Mr. And look, I did Google it a couple of years ago, and it said that this thing can heal itself. But I had an examination earlier in the year, and by a specialist surgeon. He examined it. He said, "No, I'm not going to fiddle in there. If you got no inflammation, if there's no discharge, you're healed. If I fiddle in there, it'll make it worse." And he's happy with my tuchus. He's happy with my arsehole.
So has arsehole two like shut down? Was it
just to be safe? I still scrub my ass religiously. Religiously. I mean, I've got the special scrubber that if anyone borrows my shower or uses my shower, don't touch that! Because you know where that's been. Yeah. And when I go away, if I go away for a couple of days, I take it with me in a little plastic bag. So my tuchus, my ass is good. Good to go.
All right. Then I apologize. I thought that you might be able to help in this respect, but you haven't. Lee says, "Gareth, please use the proper medical terminology for piles. It's called bum grapes."
Yeah.
Damon is such an asshole. He even had two assholes. Says, "This is amazing." The people, lots of feedback from Brendan this morning. Good morning, Gareth. This comes through. Who's whistling like that?
Is it your Damon's nostrils?
It's my nostrils. Sorry, man.
Jesus.
I'm a bit schnotty. I get schnotty.
Okay.
Joshua wants to know, what do I think of Sacha Baron Cohen's speech at the Anti-Defamation League? Okay, well, I'll give you a little bit of background.
It was too long.
Sacha Baron Cohen spoke about how Facebook is like a propaganda machine, and effectively that if Facebook were around when Hitler was around, Facebook would have allowed Nazi ads.
Well, Hitler would have had his own page.
Of course. Yeah, you know, join Happy Hitler on his new Facebook page, where all kind of interesting things happen for lovely Aryan peoples, including folk games and beautiful maidens with long hair in pretzel hairdresses.
Yeah, yeah. No, the thing is with Sasha, and
don't
I say,
mind the juice.
The thing is, when it comes to speeches in general, I say the same thing about Sasha and Greta. They carry on too long. They make the speech too long.
Yeah, I went to a thing on Sunday, and there were some really good speakers. But again, the feedback from someone at the table was 3 minutes maximum.
It's enough.
It's enough.
I think Sasha's Baron Cohen speech went on for 14 minutes.
And also,
I listened.
No, 24.
He's great
actually
when he's playing Borat or Bruno, or he's not so good when he's Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, but just speak for 3 or 4 minutes. That's the rule.
Yeah. All right.
Those are big words that he used, though. I mean, well, big statements to make.
This is a big problem I've created for Daniel, and I'm really, really sorry. Daryl, not Daniel. Daryl says, Gareth, when you said arsehole number two, my laptop lit up with a mouthful of tea. I'm so sorry. Obviously sprayed tea all over his laptop.
Oh, no.
Every time Damon is on, it devolves into a discussion about his arsehole. Why? I don't want to hear about his arsehole, says Carl. Okay, good point, Carl.
I could have spoken about my bowel movements, which I'm very proud of, but I won't.
And people raised their brows at me, being an obstetrician and gynecologist, says Dr. Robin. There are worse things, like Damon's colorectal surgeon. Oh, that's a horrible job. Oi, Damon, thanks for the info. We'll sleep peacefully tonight. That comes from Ruth. Okay, lots of interesting stuff to talk about this morning. Let's turn our attention to more important things. We've got an update
on... Are you saying Damon's fistula is not important?
Sorry, Garrett, just to interject. So can we just officially say there was no help for the piles person?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you'd be useful in this respect. But, you clearly are not.
But preparation H apparently works very well.
She'll carry on suffering in silence.
It's called preparation H, and if you have bags under your eyes, it also works for your bags as
ooh,
well.
Ooh, wait, no.
But you don't use the both at the same... You don't use it for both conditions at the same
well,
time.
Well, you change fingers when you... for application.
Okay. Don't double dip. What you want to do is treat it like Doritos, okay, you don't
and,
double dip.
And suddenly we're going back down this path. All right, Jeffrey Epstein, we've got an update on that for you.
He's still dead, eh?
No, but this is interesting. There's been another interview with Virginia. Virginia Roberts was her name when she was younger, 17 years old, and she says that she had sex with Jeffrey Epstein and with Prince Andrew. Lots of very, very scary stuff going on there, which we'll tell you about in a second, and some new reports from a brand new interview. But first, let me tell you that Standard Bank is committed to driving growth on this continent that we call home. As your trusted strategic partner, let Standard Bank connect you to Africa's opportunities. You can listen to us at 9 a.m. this morning on cliffcentral.com and check out our social media later today for another insightful interview. Dele Kuti, who is Standard Bank's global head for oil and gas and client coverage, spoke to MoneyWeb editor Rek Fanikak about the opportunities in oil and gas and in that sector in Africa and how the energy transition is driving the development sector. The interview is brought to you by Standard Bank, your trusted partner for growth.
Can I add a Standard Bank comment?
Go on.
I say mazel tov, well done to Standard Bank for taking Cricket South Africa to the side and telling them, you know, telling them off.
Get
can't behave
together.
Like that. Get your act together. Yeah. This is South Africa. This isn't Russia. Get with it.
Oh. How's
thank
that?
Thank you.
Bulelo, you agree?
What an embarrassment, hey, Bulelo. This Cricket South Africa. What a bunch of nitwits, eh?
Bunch of losers.
You sound like Mbucks now.
That's exactly. Damon, I couldn't agree more. And remember, CSA has been losing blue chip sponsors slowly over the last 5
years.
Well,
they might lose Standard Bank and carry on like this.
Like you're saying, they had took them to the naughty corner. And Standard Bank's come out to say, we are happy for now.
For now.
All right, let's get this Epstein story underway, because I think for a lot of people this is an ongoing and fascinating saga. This was all going on while everybody was living their lives. The Guardian has published an interview with Virginia Jeffrey, who is used to be called Virginia Roberts before she got married. She's Prince Andrew's accuser, and she's asked the people of Britain to stand beside her.
He asked me to dance. He is the most hideous dancer I've ever seen in my life.
She's talking about Prince Andrew here, by the way.
Hideous dancer.
The most hideous dancer she's ever had.
What has that got to do with it?
Hideous dancer I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was horrible. And this guy was sweating all over me. Like, his sweat was like, it was raining basically everywhere. And I was just like, grossed out from it. But I knew I had to keep him happy, because that's what Jeffrey and Ghislaine would expect from me. People on the inside are going to keep coming up with these ridiculous excuses, like his arm was elongated, or the photo was doctored, or he came to New York to break up with Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, come on. I'm calling BS on this, because that's what it is. He knows what happened. I know what happened. And there's only one of us telling the truth, and I know that's me. I implore the people in the UK to stand up beside me, to help me fight this fight, to not accept this as being okay. This is not some sordid sex story. This is a story of being trafficked.
Wow. So lots of new revelations coming up.
But the Queen at least did up her bit. She cancelled his birthday party.
She's removed him from all his official duty. No more cutting ribbons.
Mm. Yes.
No more shaking hands.
His foundation has been kicked out of the palace.
Imagine you're 60 years old and your mother cancels your birthday party.
That's so embarrassing.
Is that punishment enough?
I don't know. Especially when you don't know anything else.
Well, it's all he can do.
Mm.
Do you think she called him into her room?
How does it happen?
How did it happen?
People have got various... I suppose there's a lot of speculation around this, because there has to be. We don't know. We weren't in the room. They say Prince Charles, who was in New Zealand, I think, on part of a royal tour, he was on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
The Queen was in the room. Andrew was in the room. And the Queen's private secretary. So it was just those four people.
Ooh.
And basically he was summoned. Andrew...
No birthday cake for you.
Yeah, exactly. They called him into the room. He sat down in a chair, only after the Queen had sat down, because that's how it works.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, even though you're the Queen's son, you still have to bow and say, Your Majesty.
Do they call him Mum?
No, well, not. Look, if there are other people around, they have to go, Your Majesty.
Okay.
And then after that, you say, Ma'am.
Oh.
Yeah. To your family.
To your mother.
To your own mother. And then you can call her Mummy when the door's closed and no one else is in the room.
What do you sign the Mother's Day card?
Oh, please, can I have my job back, Mummy? I don't worry about a birthday party, Mummy.
Mummy, can we have a secret birthday party?
Yes,
you can, but you must keep it quiet.
Because I think this is one of the few things the Queen still cares about. I don't think when there are climate change protesters blocking the road, she doesn't care about that. Where Fashion Week will be, she doesn't care about that. But mess with her royal scenario,
then she's ticked off. Mm. And she has done way more than anybody else could be expected to do for Britain and for the monarchy and to keep the institution alive and healthy. She's tried in various ways to advance it into modernity, the internet, and doing things differently and meeting people from all walks of life.
Does she tweet? Has she got
a revolution? Yeah, she's revolutionized.
Is she tweeting legitimately or is it
You know that during her reign, she's had, I think it's 11 or even 14 prime ministers. I can't remember the number. That means there have been... By at least let's say there were 11. I can't remember the exact number. There was started with Winston Churchill was her first prime minister, and now she's got Boris Johnson. And in between,
she's got the two
Labour government, Conservative government.
She's had 14.
14. There we go.
And how many years is that?
She's been queen since 1953. So do the maths.
So 14 is actually that illustrates quite a stable country. 14 prime ministers in all that time.
Yeah,
not bad.
Number 10.
And she's had a few more Australian prime ministers, Canadian prime ministers, because remember, she's the queen of those countries as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, it's got to be embarrassing for her that she's managed to do a good job. And she has. She's done as good a job as it's possible to do in all of these decades that she's been monarch. And then her stupid children go and ruin this and cause trouble for her. And get involved in filthy sex scandals with paedophiles like Jeffrey Epstein. It's got to be horrible, right? It's got to be embarrassing. There's no way she could feel good about this.
So now dealing with Prince Charles's voicemail messages to Camilla is like small water compared to this.
I want to be your tampon. That's nothing.
Remember that.
That's nothing.
That was what he said. And then Kamala Harris has dropped out of the 2020 presidential race in America. She blames a lack of finances. Take a listen to this. This is her quitting the race for the president's nomination to the presidency.
Guys, my campaign for president simply does not have the financial resources to continue and the financial resources we need to continue. I'm not a billionaire. I can't fund my own campaign. And as the campaign has gone on, it has become harder and harder to raise the money we need to compete. In good faith, I cannot tell you, my supporters and volunteers, that I have a path forward if I don't believe I do. So, to you, my supporters, my dear supporters, it is with deep regret, but also with deep gratitude, that I am suspending our campaign today.
So that's the world's least... admission of poverty.
But she used the word suspension.
Yeah. Well, that's what they...
Does that hint I might be back?
No, that's what they call it. But she started to flounder very badly.
Started off well.
She started great, and everybody thought she was a real contender. In fact, for a while there, she was Joe Biden's biggest competitor. And what's happened is, at various stages of the race, and remember, we are still a whole year away from the election.
It just
carries on and on.
And this is only the primary, obviously. So what we've got is, at various stages of this campaign so far, Joe Biden has been up front, then Pete Buttigieg is currently looking like the most the biggest favorite after Joe. Elizabeth Warren for a while was the top dog. Bernie Sanders for a while was the top dog. Who else has been there at some point? Cory Booker, although I don't think he ever really got past single digits. There have been a number of people who at some stage, and remember there are like 12 or 14 different Democratic primary contenders. Some of them have dropped out already. There's now Michael Bloomberg who's entered the
race. He's only just entered.
He just entered now.
And he won't run out of money.
No, he's easily one of the richest people in the world. I think he's in the top 15 billionaires of all Earth right now. So he's not going to run out of money. He could spend like $2 billion and he'd still be absolutely fine.
So what has this Biden got? What are his qualities that put him in front at the moment?
Being a bumbling person and saying odd things.
Did you hear what he said?
I've got hairy legs,
and he's deranged.
But he made a weird black comment about even black people can be as good as white people, like that.
And he made some comment about black education.
So then why is he still in front?
Well, he was Obama's vice president. And
that's what it is.
Remember, the Democrats have moved so far left, they've become so progressive, in inverted commas, that they've lost the moderates. And if you don't have the moderates, you cannot win. So Joe Biden still represents, for many Democrat voters, a better alternative to Trump than anyone else. But the radicals in the party want Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or these socialists. And for that's a tiny fringe in the Democratic Party. It's like 10% of the party, but they're very loud.
So being handsy isn't as bad as being a socialist.
Well, correct. No, being handsy, context, nobody cares about being handsy. He did a weird thing, Joe Biden.
Starts massaging you.
No. This week, his wife was introducing him at a rally, and he took her hand while she was busy speaking and bit her finger. The most bizarre man. He's just a weird dude.
I'm sure that was
from... You wouldn't leave your kids in a room with him.
Someone wrote that. And then he took it overboard. Like, just show affection, you know. That would get your approval rating up.
Awkward. He's a weird dude.
Stick to eating ice cream with Obama.
I think when you get to a certain age, you do these faux pas. I think that's what it is.
Then sit down. That's
is
also fine.
Is anybody sad about Kamala? They call her Kamala. But Kamala Harris.
Do you know there are so many Democratic presidential candidates that we actually lose track of who's who in the zoo? There were two others who resigned in the space of 48 hours with Kamala Harris, and we haven't really heard much around that. Former Pennsylvania Republican Joe Sestak.
Never heard of him.
And a Montana governor, Steve Bollock, as well, who's also
never
resigned.
Heard of Bollock.
Steve Bollock.
I've never heard of both
ignorance.
Of him.
It is Bollocks.
Excuse my ignorance, but is there going to be a Republican challenger to Trump in these primaries? How does it work?
There are some, but they haven't got a hope in hell.
So they're not going to even bother?
No, well, they'll try, but it's going to be embarrassing for them.
So they might make a poster here.
They'll make a poster. They might
throw a ribbon.
Might get up on a stage and make some speeches, but Trump's not going to debate with them or entertain them. I mean, he doesn't have to. He's got unbelievable support in the Republican Party at the moment. But there are some outliers. There's a group in the Republican Party called the Never Trumpers.
Oh.
Who are not interested in Trump at all, but it's a small proportion of the total.
But of course President Trump is enjoying this right now. Did you see his tweet about Kamala Harris?
What did he say?
He just said, "Too bad. We will miss you, Kamala." And then Kamala tried to come back with like a snapping of fingers, quoting that and saying, "Don't worry, Mr. President. I'll see you at your trial."
That's not a bad answer.
We still have a whole year of this. Well, the general election is scheduled for November 3rd, 2020.
Tulsi Gabbard, who's also a contender for the Democratic nomination, she's from Hawaii, and she served in the U.S. military. She didn't really like Kamala Harris, so apparently when Kamala Harris announced that she was dropping out of the race, this is what Tulsi did. This is in an airport in Hawaii. She got a ukulele.
Stop.
Yeah, and just played a ukulele. You know, like kind of nonchalantly showing that she doesn't care that Kamala Harris is out of the race.
She's also not doing much for the Hawaiian stereotype.
No, no, it's
if
hilarious.
If you communicate through ukulele.
All right, and then is anyone interested in what's going on in the UK at the moment? Because they're actually heading into elections soon as well. Remember,
it's so confusing.
It's so confusing, and it's all about Brexit. And people are starting to, like the impeachment thing in America, people have just lost interest, right? But this Jeremy Corbyn.
I'm so confused. Is he an anti-Semite or not? What is it? What's going on?
He's such an anti-Semite.
Is he an anti-Semite?
Yeah.
Has he ever said like something directly anti-Jewish? Like, is he?
Yeah. He's a few things, Damon, and the kind of people he's been supporting, like Hamas and Iran. He's been very open and vocal about the fact that he regards Israel as a terrorist.
No, but he's never actually said it.
Well, but is that your basis of?
No, because there's the argument. You know, Damon, there's the argument of being Damon, anti-Israel or anti-Semitic, or are they? Do they go together? It's like, you know, it's kind of debatable.
It's kind of like if someone who walks around with a let's say khaki outfit on. And they talk about the K word, this and that. Now, they never actually say,
I really don't like black people.
But you can assume they're racist, you know?
Is it like the same thing?
Sort of like that. Anyway, he tried to make a half-hearted apology for the anti-Semitism in the Labour Party.
So he says there's anti-Semitism in the Labour Party?
He admits it. Listen,
oh, so he actually admits it?
Let me make it clear.
Wait a minute. I and our party...
No, just say sorry.
Can I say something?
Well,
our party...
I want you to say sorry.
Our party and me,
yeah,
do not accept anti-Semitism in any form.
So are you sorry for anything that's happened?
Obviously, I'm very sorry for everything that's happened. But I want to make this clear. I am dealing with it.
I love the way there's a Christmas tree in the background while they're doing this.
Oh, you know, this is like the good time, feel-good British show.
Jeremy Corbyn is incapable of doing the right thing at the moment. His Labour Party is at the lowest ebb it's been at for decades. And remember, Tony Blair and even in the first couple of weeks of Gordon Brown had this thing running like a well-oiled machine. The Tories didn't have a chance. And Jeremy Corbyn has ruined it because he's chummed up with some of the worst elements of just bad politics and anti-Semitism and all kinds of other ugliness in the UK. They have lost any shred of credibility that they might have once had. Even the Liberal Democrats are starting to look better than the Labour Party to a lot of unionists and people who used to be traditional Labour Party supporters. It's ridiculous.
Go ahead, Damo.
No.
What I was going to say was, I tend to identify with being very, very liberal and way out left. And, you know, I'm a liberal guy. But, you know, when I look at what is meant to represent what is described as liberal and left, it's ridiculous. Is they've forgotten in the Socratic notion is politicking is a grind. Stop worrying about the identity politics. We'll do that. Mm-hmm. You as the politician need to politic. And this apology from what's the woman's name is so ridiculous. We know what it takes to do the politicking process. Don't come and apologize and expect us to feel sorry. We know what it costs. You should have had that sorted, or, you know, get out the race.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And Corbyn's lost me. You know, I kind of liked him at the beginning, but you got to politic. Stop trying to please everybody and go and politic.
Well, this is all part of what's going on at the moment in the UK. And but in the back of all of this is Brexit. So.
But doesn't it also, a lot of people, I think the majority of people don't even vote according to policy or what the politician says. It's all about personality. It's all about charisma or lack of charisma. It's also about attractiveness, believe it or not.
Mm.
Like Shane, poor, like going back to Elizabeth Warren. Unfortunately, sadly, she won't win purely because she looks like an old woman. And that's, unfortunately, that is the way people think.
Damon,
and
Corbyn, I think you are right.
Corbyn, this Corbyn character, he's got no personality. He's got no charisma. He just comes, and Boris Johnson comes across as an absolute buffoon, total buffoon. So if I was in the UK, I mean, I wouldn't know who to vote for.
Look, as much as I'd like to believe that since there's so much political conversation happening, whether it's online or people just being more vocal, that that would lend to people being more calculated and smart with their votes. I actually think you're right, Damon. Most people will get swayed by the little things. Is the candidate married? Are they holding babies?
Can I be
honest?
Are
they visiting
old people? I have a confession.
You voted like that?
I initially liked Kamala Harris because I thought she was attractive. There, I admit
attractive, attractive, there. Or like she fits the look of a powerful person.
I liked the look of her. Okay. Same thing. Why do you think what's her face joined against Obama? John McCain's running mate.
What's her name? She lives in Alaska.
Yes,
that one.
Sarah Palin.
Why? She was chosen because she was attractive. Am I wrong?
Well, it wasn't because of her brains.
She was attractive.
Look, otherwise then let's all just sit at home in our tracksuits and say how much we'll change the world. No,
Am I wrong in saying that Bill Clinton, he had charisma, he had a personality, he looked nice, he was tall.
And he had a box of cigars and some great ideas of what to do in the Oval Office.
He had sexual energy.
Yeah.
But not a lot of that. Jeffrey Epstein was my friend too.
Mbulelo sounds like he looks good, says somebody. Well, this is you can comment on that. This is from Sbo. Can we see a picture of him, please?
What would you rate yourself, Mbulelo, out of 10?
Depending on the lighting, 3.5, between 3.5 and 4.
All right, let me describe Mbulelo as best I can for you. He likes to wear shirts with the top button done up.
Ooh, and no tie.
Very, very kind of, what would you call that?
Hipster.
Hipsterish.
Mm. Is that hipsterish?
Yeah. He's,
hipsters do a top.
He wears glasses.
I do.
Keeps his hair super short.
Always.
He runs his body. So you're in pretty good shape, right? And you're not fat. You're not overweight. You're probably, out of all of us, besides Sia, who's perpetually thin because he's a ramp model for Vogue men in Canada. The rest of us, you're definitely thinner than Damon and Gugu and I. All right, so there we go.
I'm trying to look for a weakness. Like in terms of first impression.
Yes, go for it. Find a weakness.
If you had to go on a date with somebody, I'm thinking first impressions. You'd probably order the salad. So maybe that's like someone's thinking, oh, does this guy only eat salads?
Speaking of ordering stuff, yesterday Sia and Mbulelo and I
were
at a meeting in town in the CBD.
Right now.
And we went to this coffee shop in the CBD.
New town or CBD?
No, CBD, Tri-Street.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So we were in the middle of town and we order from this fairly limited menu. So Mbulelo and I just get a chicken burger. It's the easiest thing to get, right? Simple. No fuss. You know the kitchen can do it quickly because we're in a bit of a hurry. We've got a meeting in about 45 minutes. And what did you get to drink again?
I just had a water.
Right. I got like a Coke Zero. And then his grace, the Duke of Sanguini.
Your Honor.
The Duke of Troyville. Sorry, Troy Street.
Then he has to place his order. And oh, holy mother of God. What did you order? Because they had to come back to the table 18 times to find out whether what you actually wanted was available.
I wasn't happy.
What did you want in the beginning?
They did get my drink order right. My great passion fruit and lemonade, and I don't think that's asking for a lot.
With 2 cubes of ice.
But you have to be particular about the ratio. So I did that myself.
How many cubes of ice?
No, I'm not really too touchy-feely about that, but it's just about the ratio. So the drink was I was happy with.
Okay.
I was very particular with what I wanted.
What did you want?
I wanted a tramezzini with spinach and feta.
But the thing is, do they do tramezzini?
Yes, they do. It was on the menu.
But then he doesn't leave it at that. Then he says instead of this he wants rocket.
Gareth, that was the first step. Then they came back and they told me they didn't have spinach.
What about rockets?
So now that is already annoying.
You're not
going to
get rocket in Troy Street.
So then I asked for a English muffin. So I wanted an Eggs Benedict. Right?
But was that on the menu?
It was on the menu as well. They come back and they tell me, oh, sorry, we don't have spinach to go onto your Eggs Benedict. So I thought, okay, it's fine. We can substitute it easily. May I have some rocket, please?
No, they're not going to have rockets.
I mean, really? Rocket is a little green amount.
No, rocket's not that common.
Readily available. And then there was no rockets available. So then I sat there, was a little glum, I will admit. And I thought, let's substitute it with something else then. And I asked for some halloumi.
Halloumi's pushing it.
So far, I have not been asking for caviar.
So what did you get in the end?
I had a very plain Eggs Benedict, which was, by the way, had a horrible warm sauce.
I've never ordered an Eggs Benedict in my life.
Oh, darling.
Damon, I can see you're one for pageantry. Sia has just given you the most whittled down, boiled down version of what went down.
Yeah.
It was a production.
Go ahead as I cross my arms.
Like I had never seen on planet Earth. It was incredible. It was incredible.
Did you even achieve anything at this meeting?
It was wild. It was wild. It actually, the order sort of seeped into the meeting. It was so
was this a pre-breakfast meeting or was this part of the meeting?
No, just... What does that have to do? It's not interesting. The answer to that question is uninteresting. It was just before the meeting. The meeting was in a building across the road.
Okay, I thought it was interesting.
No,
sorry.
And the meeting was great, but Sia's ordering, and I said to Mbolela, we've actually got off lightly today because usually with Sia, it's a huge...
I don't think
did
so.
Did the waiter roll his eyes?
No, she was actually very pleasant.
No, it was wild. It
she
was
even said goodbye to me as we were leaving.
She was glad to see you go.
That's exactly what it was. It was wild, Damon.
All right, rocket is the fastest of all the herbs.
There we go.
That's why it is never available, Carl. Oh.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Fastest growing?
I don't know if it's meant to be a pun.
Fastest growing? Fastest speed.
Rocket fast.
Oh, my God.
I've had my coffee this morning.
Everybody's a comedian.
Everyone's a...
All right.
Was that Neil Simon who sent that? Or Woody Allen? I mean, really?
Woody Allen. So, Damon, give us an update on your life. What's going on?
I'm very excited. The year's almost over. What does that mean? Medical aid gets refreshed in January. What a win.
Is that what you're excited about?
Yeah, because you've got all these ailments. You want to see like a specialist for certain things. So you've got to wait for the medical aid.
What are your big...
And then new glasses. I'm so excited. I'm going to get new glasses.
What are your big...
So that's what I was thinking about yesterday.
You talk like a 90-year-old.
That's crazy.
What is your
ailment? I've got this terrible condition, which I've mentioned before. Dropped foot. Remember?
No, try not to do that.
That's why you tripped over yourself during the song break.
So I've done every single treatment I can imagine. A biokineticist, chiropractor, cycling. So it's helped a lot. But now I need to just realize that I've got to go to a neurosurgeon. For a proper, I've got to have a CT scan.
A neurosurgeon. It's surely like, what is it? Sciatic nerve stuff?
There's an impingement in my lower back. And I've got to get it properly diagnosed.
Ooh, impeachments. And
don't get me wrong. I'm not running to the surgeon's table. But
no,
I think
you can't run.
But
because
I think,
of your
exactly.
Foot.
I can't run. You're right. But I think I can cycle. But I've got to just get a proper diagnosis just to set my mind at ease. Are the treatment regimens that I've been doing for the last 3.5 years, are they correct or not? And if I need surgery, I'm not completely closed off to it.
This one you will go for surgery as opposed to your fistula.
It's a tough one. I'll have to see what the doctor says. Mm-hmm. But with back surgery, you don't rush to back surgery. You don't. You don't. You avoid it like a Liverpool discussion.
You spent many years reporting on traffic, right?
Traffic.
When we used to do radio traffic.
I remember that.
Before there were other technological means of being
Let's give a quick example. Broken down vehicle on the M1 south at Grayston. As you come through the Bakoon interchange from the Midrand side, going through Sandton towards the center of Joburg.
Do you want to do it and pretend you're in the helicopter?
Okay.
Okay, so just go back a little bit from the microphone. Remember, we're going to have like lots of noise.
No. Okay.
All right,
well, I'll just...
You know what to do.
Okay.
All right, calm yourself
down. You do the John Robbie. You must introduce me.
Oh, right.
Okay. And you must say, I in the sky, yada, yada.
Okay, well, let me try this. All right, so now we're going to go... I'll put on a radio voice and everything too, okay?
Okay. This is quite an operation.
All right. So this is how they used to do the... I don't even know if I have a helicopter sound here.
Maybe Mbolelo can just go...
No. I'll see if I can find one. So what they used to do is every, 15 minutes?
It varied. So say top of the hour, then again at 10 past, then again at 20 past. And
this
again
is what,
so there would be one, two...
This is what radio stations used to do.
There would be like
all right, so let's do this.
And now it's time for us to go up into the skies and find out what's happening on the roads. And here is Damon Calvari in the helicopter. Damon, over to you.
Well, John, we've just penetrated Sandton airspace, going over the Bakuli interchange. As I'm going down towards the city center, I see a broken down vehicle at Corlett Drive. And that's going to affect you if you're heading through the Midrand area on your way through Sandton towards the Killarney Bend. John, things are picking up. It's already 7 in the morning, but so far we're running smoothly. But expect things to get quite slow down as we go approach peak hour traffic. Damon Calvari, Talk Radio 702 traffic.
That's what he used to do.
Oh,
okay, so I wanted to ask
brilliant.
You, when it rains, people seem to be worse on the roads. And today it's raining. And, you know that.
What did Dullah Omar say?
Well, on our roads, you know, our drivers are not relaxed. That when he was minister of transport, that was what he said.
One more time, or can you translate that into English for me?
Well, you know, on our roads, our drivers are not relaxed. That's what he said when he was minister of transport. But the fact is, like, people do seem to lose their minds. This morning, I sent Sia a message because I thought I would be much later, thanks to the traffic. I said, "Rain has made people dumb. Going to be 5 minutes late." Mm. This happens though when it rains. What is it? Do people slow down? Do people speed up?
No, you have to slow down.
But then why do they drive so stupidly? I mean, I saw a car on the way in this morning that had obviously skidded on the road, or it slammed on brakes. Are you all right?
What was that?
Bit of gas, but I'm okay.
Okay.
Coming out of?
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
Why are you so intolerant?
I'm not intolerant. I just have a very sensitive gag reflex.
Okay. Do you feel offended, Damon?
No, it's just people are so critical.
But you can't belch.
And this car had gone.
I kept it as an innie.
Okay.
You know, on purpose. I kept it as an innie.
But you can move away from your microphone.
I kept it in. Not what I believe in transparency.
No, don't you?
I don't even care about the stupid car anymore.
it's carry on. Sorry, I apologize.
That's all right.
So I apologize. Somebody was. No, somebody there obviously skidded.
It's so boring compared to the revolting sounds that you just made.
And then the thought of what is left on the microphone when you bulge.
No. Come on, that quiet was an innie.
Listen,
I kept it as an innie. There's no debris on the microphone.
There's big news for the weed industry and for people who smoke marijuana. Willie Nelson has stopped smoking weed due to ongoing health and breathing issues. He's decided he's no longer smoking pot and has even got his own line of marijuana products, but is no longer partaking himself because he's having respiratory issues.
But how old is he now?
Oh, he's very 40, old.
40,000 years old,
at least.
I think he's 88.
Well, that's going to be good news for the weed industry.
It doesn't say his age there.
Means more for everyone else.
Yeah, it means there'll be more for everyone else. He's 86 years old.
He's 86. Mm-hmm. It could be a blow to his business. It's like Bill Gates saying he doesn't use Microsoft.
I know this will be a huge blow to Woody Harrelson, Snoop Dogg, Matthew McConaughey, and all his other
Goldberg friends
who used to smoke with him.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
These are his friends. I don't know what they're going to do together now because they used to roll a big fat joint between them.
I just think it's bad spin.
Mm-hmm.
I think his people should have rather come across, listen, the man is 86. He would have got ill anyway, and this has got nothing to do with marijuana consumption.
Okay.
Shouldn't they have come out like that?
Probably that's a good thing, especially for his line of products. He doesn't want to be anti-marijuana, you know?
Yeah, that's. They should have put more thought into this announcement.
All right.
Did he sing that song, "On the Road Again, Doing Things That I Have Never Done Before"?
Ruth says,
"I can't wait to get on the road again."
Sia, you have a weak gag reflex. Shame, Sia, that must suck for you. That's from Ruth.
I know where this is going.
Okay.
Oh, is this about
oral sex?
Yeah, oral sex, deep throating.
Pabalo wants to know how many Magnum ice creams a week you're currently on, Damon.
No, that's where you're wrong. I weighed 139 kilograms at the beginning of this year.
No, that's me.
I lost 14 kilograms, and then I've managed to keep off 9. I've kept off the 9 kilograms. I avoid sugar and carbs as best as humanly possible.
So you don't eat any more frittos anymore, as you pronounce it.
Okay, I admit, I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. In the last week, I have eaten some Fritos, but generally speaking, the last 8 months, I've been religiously no carbs, no sugar. I can say without any fear of contradiction,
yes,
that I haven't touched any sugary drinks. Okay. No sugary drink. I drink only Coke Zero with no caffeine as well, and Sprite. I haven't had any cold drinks. Chocolates in the last 8 months, I've maybe had a tiny bit of chocolate. I've been very good.
Chips.
I've been cycling. I averaged 19.6 kilometers an hour on my bicycle last week in the cradle.
All right.
I'm getting there.
Wow, that's
it's a process.
So, Damon, I hate to be a stickler, but you didn't really answer. I feel like you squirmed your way out of the ice cream.
No,
actual question.
I have not had any ice cream since January.
Are you willing to state that and categorically?
I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes back in March, I think.
Ooh.
Ever since then, that was the wake up call. I'm on a strictly diabetic diet. I do not touch any of this stuff. 99% of the time.
And no fizzy drinks.
Well, I've had the Coke, the Zero, the no sugar. Mm. Which probably
and no caffeine.
Which is also very unhealthy.
Yeah, it's got aspartame in it. It's
well,
not great.
It's not great.
Yeah,
it's not great.
I do that though too.
But a little known thing, it only recently came out in articles and that, is that caffeine is also a no-no. So what caffeine does is caffeine inhibits the effect of insulin. So if you are diabetic or whatever, you must also avoid caffeine for that reason. So I'm guilty. I had 2 cups of this lovely coffee, by the way. Thank you very much. So
good.
Yeah. Ooh. Anyway.
All right. So you're not perfect.
I haven't touched the Magnum in over a year, man.
Oh. Okay, then.
Yeah, inspiration. Inspiration.
I am an inspiration.
No, you. To me, you are.
Yeah, and I'm starting to cycle more often, and you'll see. I'll be a machine by the end of December.
Mazel tov.
But you are waiting for mid-Jan to go running back to doctors once you can.
Well, I got to get my back looked at.
All right, that's
new
enough.
Glasses.
We've spent like 2 hours on your health issues. Christine says that she loves Mbulelo and wants to just point out that he is an intellectual, unlike Sia, who has self-important waffle.
Hey, everybody's got their role. Everyone's got their
thanks,
role.
Thanks, Damon.
We can't all be clever Cibulelos, you know?
Mbulelos.
Oh, Jesus.
I did want to address that earlier. You called me Nombulelo, and you attacked my safe space there. That's the feminine version, and my frail masculinity actually took a hit there, Damon, I just want to say. So I like being a victim as well.
All right. Okay, everybody calm down. Jesus.
We can't all be geniuses.
Some of us can be moisturized and great.
Some people could love Oprah, for example. Imagine if we all loved Oprah. Can you imagine?
Wow, let's not depict paradise.
The schmaltz.
No.
The syncope.
No.
The what?
No.
The schmaltz.
No, not this. Syncofantasy.
Sycophancy.
The sycophancy.
It would be delightful.
Imagine? Can you imagine?
We'd all be gifting each other things.
Being watching Beloved over and over again. Or
absolutely.
The Color Purple.
Where would we keep all the chairs, though?
Where's my copy of The Butler? You know, just constantly.
Damon, you're an undercover Oprah fan.
Oh, let's not even go there. She is amazing in terms of what she's done with her life and her success. Major, major respect. Brilliant. Well done. But what she actually says and does, it's just, come on. I've got my own mind. I can do my own thing. She's like an older version of Lady Gaga. I mean, Lady Gaga, the way she her concert a couple
I've
of years
never
ago, the way she lectures, the way she lectures to her audience, just sing, man, just sing. Oprah, just interview people. Stop lecturing me.
Yeah, people who want to keep
eat your cauliflower
remember,
pizza and
Bono,
move on.
Bono does that too. Where, he gets up on the stage. You've come to watch you too, and the next thing you've got a 3-hour lecture about starvation in some country you've never heard of.
There was a famous line, and this actually happened. Oh, I don't know if it's a joke or he says, every time you clap, somebody dies somewhere. So somebody said, stop clapping. I don't know if that actually happened.
No, that is a little morbid to happen. That would not.
Right.
But in all fairness, Bono has been very quiet recently.
Candace saying, I love Sia. Stop throwing shade. To whoever it was who said that.
I love these new expressions that have come up.
Please put Damon's belch on a loop with his O and play it repeatedly like you used to do with CS's Mac Hine. Do you remember?
Oh my God. Remember that. That was fantastic, hey?
Yes. Damon, you'll notice we brought you in on a day Leanne is not here.
No, I know that.
She still doesn't like
That's the elephant in the room. You know, I got a little elephant finger puppet. And I keep on thinking, next time I'm on the show, I'm going to bring the elephant finger puppet and say, let's talk about the elephant in the room. But I thought, you know what? This is not TV. We're not going to do that.
Don't you miss her?
No, you know what? The last time we did a show with Leanne and you, Sia, it was terrible. It was so unprofessional. It was so awkward. Yeah. It was so unentertaining.
It was a terrible show.
It was such a bad show that I never retweeted it or put it on Facebook or told anybody that I did the show. It was horrible.
Now,
it was horrible.
Damon, we live in South Africa. Is there any chance of reconciliation between you two, do you think?
No, you know what? It doesn't matter.
They don't have anything to do with each other.
It's just one of these things.
Tell me, you mentioned the finger puppet. How old's your daughter now?
7.
Sure. Did you buy the finger puppet for, like, you know, telling her stories?
No, don't be silly. We bought it for ourselves.
Oh.
I don't know why. Why did we do that? We were at this lovely shop. We were at this shop in Rosebank that sells, like, a lot of art, like, but contemporary stuff. Yeah. Like, lovely mirrors from South America.
Yeah.
And part of the stuff they sell, like, by the cash register were these finger puppets. And we thought, oh, that's sweet. Mm-hmm. And then we bought them and then we never used them again.
Huh.
What did we... I'm just trying to think. Why did we buy those finger puppets? Anyway, the rhinoceros, there's a wildebeest, there's a lion.
Oh, you bought a whole collection?
Yeah, we got for all 5 fingers, I think. So the elephant is... I like the elephant the most because I wanted to wave it. Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Is that your shtick?
That's my shtick.
All right.
But I left it out.
I'm afraid that's all the shtick we got time
for. No, you
got
to be real. You can't always do shtick.
No, you can't. You got to stop the shtick.
You got to be authentic.
See, that's why I like this morning. I started off by saying something about crazy, and you went, do you really know what crazy means? And look at us.
Exactly.
For a whole half hour, we spoke about schizo, what's it called?
Schizoaffective disorder.
That's right.
Important.
Oh, my God. If you want to hear that, listen to the first hour of this morning's show. Been a busy day, and we've only just gotten started. We've got How's It China Season 1 Episode 6 on the way for you, and many other podcast series. Just go to cliffcentral.com. For more and find out exactly what the hell is going on in the world. You can join us tomorrow if you would like, bright and early at 6 o'clock. And because it's Thursday, we'll have the burning platform, a whole lot of other cool things. Stick around. CliffCentral.com. Thank you, Damon, and thank you for joining us today. CliffCentral.com.